This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us delivering powerful, meaningful and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. I'm Macca. Tass.
And I'm Tass. Oh, Tass. And our next guest, of course, is the Legal Director of Equality Australia, Ghassan Kassisi. Good morning to you, Ghassan.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Great to have you back on the airwaves. It is our penultimate show for the year, so I'm just going to say, look, it's been great having you on the airwaves during the course of the year. We always love your insights and the work that you're doing, and thank you for all you're doing for our community.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
Fabulous.
Thank you.
So just very quickly, Ghassan, we did see that the Victorian Conversion Practices Ban Bill get passed in the lower house of the Victorian Parliament. We've been having a bit of a debate in here. Did the opposition parties, the coalition, did they actually abstain? Did they walk out or was there no vote? Do you know what occurred?
They abstained from the ultimate vote. They proposed an amendment to delay the consideration of the bill in the lower house, but that was obviously defeated because the government had the numbers. And so it goes to the upper house next year, hopefully, and we'll hear it being passed early in the year.
So was there actually a vote that took place or not?
There was a slightly odd situation because of COVID restrictions. The vote occurred on the division for the amendment, I understand, but it was staggered because they couldn't have enough, too many people in the chamber at one time. But ultimately, the coalition abstained from the final vote and it carried through.
And what do your sources tell us about why they did that?
Well, the response that they had to the bill was that they in principle supported it, but the amendment that they proposed in terms of delaying the bill raised a number of sort of frankly irrelevant and sometimes offensive ideas. I think in terms of the bill itself, it was fairly simple. It was a bill that ensured people would be protected from injury caused by practices that seek to change or suppress their sexual orientation or gender identity. So given what the bill actually was about and the level of campaigning that we saw from particular groups, it was fantastic to see the bill carry through despite all of that effort from, you know, some groups to really just make it about everything other than what it's about, which is protecting people from harm and ensuring that LGBTI people who are whole and valid as they are not subject to these harmful long-term trauma-causing practices that have gone on for way too long.
Ghassan, I'm going to ask you to speculate here a little bit. The true test of this bill is not in the lower house, it's in the upper house where the government doesn't have the numbers and will rely on the crossbenchers in order for this to become law. What do you predict is going to happen when this returns in the new year?
Well, based on what we saw in the lower house, we definitely have a fight on our hands as a community and we have to get behind survivors of conversion practices and stand with them and making sure that the crossbench join with the Labor government in seeing this bill passed. And, I mean, if we just speak to some of the tactics that we saw cold calling of MPs that was effectively bullying and harassing them to oppose this bill. People outside the state were calling MPs, and by all accounts, it sounds like it's had quite the opposite effect that they had hoped, because it really showed just how prevalent the ideas are that it's okay to somehow suppress or change someone's sexual orientation or gender identity. And they really proved the case for the bill and why the bill is so necessary.
Ghassan, the amendments that the opposition put up, what was the gist of them? Who were they? I mean, they said publicly they're concerned about, you know, its impact on prayer. They're concerned about its impact on children. What was the amendment about?
It was to delay the bill over
the
summer.
Right.
Yeah, to delay the bill to allow consultation. But, I mean, you have to get back to what the bill was actually saying and really about. And there were three aspects to it. The first aspect was to say that if you cause injury to someone, that and you know that you will cause that injury, regardless of what form of practice you do, in seeking to change or suppress someone's sexual orientation or gender identity, that should be unlawful.
Yeah.
And then it provided the Human Rights Commission with two things. It gave a person who was affected by such practices the ability to report those practices to the commission, and the commission would then facilitate a voluntary agreement-making process between a survivor and those proponents of the practice and provide education. That was all. And then the other part of it is where there are serious or systemic and persistent conduct that the commission would be able to investigate it. It was just a common sense law that protected people from harm, and there really was no argument to be made against it. And everything that was raised was just seeking to make the debate about everything it wasn't. It wasn't about prayer, and it wasn't about children. It was about protecting people from harm.
I think it's about market share.
Look, I think we've discussed the merits of this bill, the policy elements of this bill, numerous times. I think it's the politics now that's the really interesting piece for me, because quite clearly there are some forces out there who are working very hard. They're in overdrive, who are trying to intimidate, and it was interesting to hear you say, using the language, bullying MPs to change the way in which they might vote about this. Ghassan, we want to move to another topic if we can. We're aware that you've been doing some advocacy work around domestic violence and members of our own community, queer people. Can you shed some light on that? What are some of the things that you've learned?
So we did a survey just over the April-May period when COVID restrictions were hitting across Australia, seeking people's across Australia, 2,600-plus people, LGBTI people, responded to our survey. And we found that over 1 in 10 LGBTIQ plus people are at risk of domestic and family violence based on who they currently lived with at that time. So the last 12 months prior to that time, and currently being in fear of someone who may be violent, harassing or controlling towards them. And we also found that young people under 25 within the LGBTI community, people who are not out about their sexuality, and trans and gender diverse people were among those with the greatest level of risk.
Wow. What are the causes? Do you have a sense of what this might be?
Yeah, so one of the significant things is it wasn't intimate partner violence and other family arrangements that were the predominant or the dominant source of that violence, but actually, particularly for young people, it was families of origin, their parents, siblings, and extended family members that may live with them. So we know then that homophobia, attitudes towards people who are trans and gender diverse are a key driver, and they continue to be a key driver for violence. And we see that, particularly with COVID, as young people have lost jobs and as a result lost the ability to pay rent on their own, they've had to move back home in with families that don't accept them, and they've as a result are now living with people in situations which are unsafe for them.
We're getting a bit of background noise there, Ghassan. It sounds like you might be in a phone booth or something.
on a street corner.
On a street corner. The wonders of modern technology that allows us to be able to... So whereabouts are you? Are you based in Sydney or in Melbourne?
I'm based in Sydney, yeah.
Oh, yeah, wow. Wow, isn't that extraordinary, Macca?
It is. I want to ask Ghassan there one other quick thing. There's some activity going on around the gay panic defence in South Australia. Fill us in on that.
So South Australia was the last state that allowed this so-called gay panic defence, which effectively downgrades a conviction for murder where a straight man is so threatened by another man making a pass at him that he kills him. Mm. And South Australia finally abolished the gay panic defence in legislation that passed in the last couple of weeks, and it becomes then the last state, so we don't have that panic defence anywhere in Australia now.
Ghassan, if you could see the reaction on our producer's face, he's in absolute shock that even this thing could exist. It is very interesting that a number of people believe that a few years ago, with marriage equality being achieved, that essentially everything has been sorted. But we only heard on this very show last week, actually, from Ro Allen, who's our commissioner for queer communities, who said that
a member of her family...
Her sister.
...actually thought... Well, not actually, but thought that the conversion practices bill had already been passed.
Had already been dealt with.
Mm. And that's what I hear. Most people are absolutely shocked that these practices continue and are lawful. So I think we can take heart from the fact that the broad majority of our communities beyond the LGBTI community are standing with us. But we do have a lot of work ahead of us. And coming into the new year, there's a number of issues for us in New South Wales. There's still attacks on our education for all, and inclusive education that includes transgender diverse people. There is religious exemptions across the country that allow faith-based schools and charities and other service providers to discriminate against LGBTI people. They're being looked at in South Australia, but we need them looked at across the country. We still have birth certificate laws that require surgery in three states in Australia. So there's a lot to do to make sure that we're all equal.
Ghassan, we are out of time, but we love your work. We love listening to what you do. And can I just encourage you to stay safe, have a good rest over the coming season, and we look forward to speaking with you again next year.
Thank you very much, Inez, to you and all your listeners.
Thank you very much. Ghassan.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.